We're doing Gemara Makos. We're up to the base, and the base we're up to the two dots. We had said in the Mishnah that if a person, if the pair of witnesses testify that so and so's chayav galus, that he killed unintentionally, so then he has to go to exile. They do not go to exile themselves, but rather they get 40 lashes. Minahani milis. The Gemara asks, what's the source of this? Says the Ramban in his commentary on the Rambam's introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos. Most of what you find in the Gemara is the Gemara searching where did the Tanoim derive things from. Meaning it's very common that the Gemara is going to do what we see now, that the Gemara is going to look back into the Psukim to derive where does our oral tradition come from. To the Tanoim it was obvious, but they didn't see a point in delineating it in the Mishnah. That's not the purpose of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara works its way backwards. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is Rabbi Yoshua ben Lakish. He started off life learning Torah, and then he went to become an armed bandit. He had his group of bandits with him, and then one day you saw Rabbi Yochanan, who was a very beautiful man, swimming across the Jordan. He rode down to and leaped across the Jordan. It seems he was intent on robbing Rabbi Yochanan as well. He was a big, powerful man. And Rabbi Yochanan saw him and remembered him. That's the guy you used to learn with us. Set him chelicha leoraisa. Your strength should be back in Torah. And Reish Lakish saw his beauty and said, Yafusach le'nashaya, your beauty should be on a woman. Rabbi Yochanan said, you come back and learn Torah, I'll convince my sister to marry you. Reish Lakish agreed, and he became Rabbi Yochanan's top pupil. We find many machloks in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan throughout the Shas. And Rabbi Yochanan learned by Reish Lakish, married Rabbi Yochanan's sister, and continued learning by him.
It's Rabbi Yoshua ben Lakish?
No. Rav Shimon ben Lakish. I said, okay. Thank you. Amar Reish Lakish. Damar Krom. Hu yanus edachat arim. The Pasuk describes he will flee to one of the cities. And here we have a drasha of a miyut. The Pasuk specified he to the exclusion of someone else. And we understand that to infer hu velozo mimin. Only he who killed unintentionally goes to galus and not the zomimin. Now here we see an interesting point. What does Hu Yanus Elachat Arim tell us? If someone killed unintentionally, he has to go to one of the cities of refuge. Is that a mitzvah? Is that a halacha? Is that a safeguard? What is it for him? Meaning, if he leaves the city, he could be murdered. Yeah, the relatives could kill him. But does he have a mitzvah to go to that city? So we will explore that further, Be'ezrat Hashem, later in the Masechet. But now what are we saying? He will flee and not the Edom Zomimin. So what does that mean? They're not allowed to flee? Or we don't obligate them to flee? Or they don't have a mitzvah to flee? Now what's going to be the nafkamina? The question is going to be, whenever we analyze things like this, we have to wonder, what role does Beis Din have? What role does the person have? Let's take an example. A person steals and he's caught. He has to pay back the keren and the kefel. He must pay back the principal and double. Does he have a mitzvah to return it? Or is it a tax to return it? When he returns it, should he say, oh, l'shem mitzvah, I'm going to do a mitzvah return double? Or is it a tax that the Torah imposed on him? When the Edim Zomimim receive their punishment, is there an aspect where that punishment is their mitzvah? Because if it's his mitzvah to flee to one of these cities, then what are you telling me? He has a mitzvah, but not the Edom Zomimim. Of course they don't have a mitzvah. Unless you'll start telling me they have a mitzvah to get lashes. Elamai, you'll tell me it's not a mitzvah. He has a capacity to protect himself. The Torah says, you killed unintentionally, go to the city of refuge, and that'll afford you protection. And the Edom Zomimim don't have that protection. Now that's not what it means. So you understand, it's not like now the relatives of the one they attempted to murder could kill them, so they don't have the refuge in their miklat. You understand the difficulty here? The miyut doesn't exactly fit what we're trying to say. We're trying to say they won't get this punishment. Is this a punishment for the man who killed unintentionally? No. The simple understanding is it's not a punishment. It is either a mitzvah or it is a protection. But it's a punishment? Oh, so let's leave that hanging for a minute. Let's continue. The Rabbi Yochanan Omer, notice that Reish Lakish precedes Rabbi Yochanan, that needs a little bit of work. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Kal vachomer. If a person killed willfully, he did an action b'mezid, he doesn't go into exile. These witnesses, they didn't do any action. When a person murdered willfully, he did a maiseh, he doesn't go to Golos. So when they, all they did was speak, they didn't even do an action, b'mezid. Of course they don't go to Golos. So there's a Tosus, not over here, elsewhere, that discusses when is Dibur considered a maiseh and when not. Because we're going to see later on in the Masechet that there's a biblical prohibition, lo tachsom sho b'disho. You're not allowed to cause your ox to, you're not allowed to withhold him from eating while it's threshing. And it says you're not even allowed to yell at him. And if a person would yell, then he'd get lashes, because it's considered like he did an action. Akimat sfatayim, you moved your lips when you yelled at the ox. So how come over here talking isn't considered an action? You're not allowed to cause your donkey to do work on Shabbos. If you yell at him to get him to move forward, that's called you cause them to do work on Shabbos. Akimat sfatayim, the movement of lips. If you want to acquire an animal, so then it's enough to call it and it will come to you. And that's called a maisekinyan. You did an act of acquisition. Ah, but I thought we just said speech is not an act. So therefore this is a big topic. When is speech considered an act? When is it not considered an act? But okay, we just opened up the subject. As you learn, you'll explore the subject further. Well, both cases are mezid. The question is it an action or not? We always assume an action is more stringent than... Right. But Rav Yochanan isn't working off of Ir Miklat. Ah, you're saying because it was mezid, they shouldn't go into Golos. Right. They won't go into Golos from the Ir Miklat reason. They'll go into Golos from the reason of that the Pasuk says, give them the punishment they wanted to dish out. It's a different angle. You're right. So the Gemara says, V'yanotenet. So if you guys want to build your vocabulary in Talmud, this is a word to write down. V'yanotenet means this supports the opposite conclusion. A murderer who killed on purpose. He did an action on purpose, he doesn't go into exile. So that he won't get atonement. Golus is a gift. The Torah allows a person to attain atonement through exiling, through going to exile. So when a guy murders on purpose, he's not given that privilege of going to galut. He doesn't need. We don't let him off that easy. He can't get atonement by just going to exile. Hen shelosumase. These witnesses, they didn't do an action, they just spoke, even though they did it b'mezid, nami liglu, you should also let them go to Golos, so that they attain a kapara. So the Gemara does not accept Rav Yochanan's kavachomer. The Gemara says it's the other way around. Golos is not a punishment, Golos is a kapara, Golos is a privilege.
So it's a privilege. So you were saying before that it was a mitzvah or protection, but here we see it's also a form of atonement.
Right.
So then we have to modify.
Right. That's why I said we'll leave it hanging. So now let's go back to Reish Lakish. What does the Gemara say? Ela machvarta kid Reish Lakish. Machvarta comes from the word chivar, which means white. What's white? What's clean? Is like Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish said, we darshan it from the pasuk. He, the one who killed unintentionally, he flees to one of the cities, and now, like Yehuda correctly pointed out, we understand, he goes to one of these cities in order to attain atonement, and they will not gain atonement through fleeing to one of these cities. That the pasuk, when it says, hu yanus, it's to the exclusion of someone, and we assume the one it's excluding is the Edom Zomim.
So it doesn't matter if there's people, the people who are trying to kill the
Goel Adam.
Goel Adam. It doesn't matter because he still needs atonement.
Correct. Amarula, next Gemara. Remez. The word remez is complicated. We ordinarily assume the word remez means an allusion, that it is not derived directly from the Torah and it is not biblical. But that's not always the case. Remez leidim zomimin min haTorah minayin. Where do we find an allusion to eidim zomimin in the Torah? The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Remez leidim zomimin. V'aktiv asid noka shozaman. What do you want? The pasuk clearly says, do unto them what they intended to do. So what are you asking? Ela, but rather the question was, remez leidim zomimin shelokin min haTorah minayin. Where do we find an allusion in the Torah that eidim zomimin will get lashes? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, v'itzdiku ta tzadik v'yoshu ta rasha v'ayayim v'inakot ta rasha. Okay, so now, does this make any sense to you? No. We got to open up a chumash. Yes, if you really want to learn, you got to open up a Tanakh. So let's go get some Tanakhs. So now we continue. The pasuk says in Parshat Ki Tetzé, towards the end of the parasha, that 10 psukim after Shvi, Ki Yeriv Ben Anashim. And we should really spend a little bit of time understanding these psukim, because these psukim are the foundation of our Masechet. When there will be a quarrel between people, V'nigashu l'mishpat u'shvatum, they will go to court and they will judge them. V'tzdiku ta tzadik, they will show the righteousness of the righteous one. V'yoshiu et harasha, and they will show the wickedness of the wicked one. And the Gemara will later on discuss that this is talking about a situation where originally you thought the roles were reversed. Very often when people come with an argument, one of them seems very righteous, and it's only after the court's verified can they show that no, in fact, that's the wicked one. So that's what the pasuk's talking about, a situation where initially you thought the roles were reversed, and the job of the justice system is to show who is really the righteous one and who is really the wicked one. Vaya.
You're saying that's what you said.
Vaya im bin hakot harasha. And if the wicked one deserves to be hit, v'yipilo ha-shofet v'yikau lefanav k'der shatom himispar. So then the judge should knock him over and beat him the amount that his wickedness is deserving. Arbeim yakenu lo yosif. You hit him up to 40. Don't pass that. Pen yosif lakotah le'le makar rabam niklach icha le'inecha. Lest you hit him too badly, hitting him going too far, and he will be shamed before your eyes. Which literally can be understood that he won't be able to contain himself or relieve himself in front of you. Lo tachsom shor b'disho. Don't muzzle an ox when it's threshing. What's the connection? So our sages learned the connection is that any prohibition that's similar to the prohibition of lotosom shol b'disho gets lashes. So then how do you, what does it have to be similar? How is it similar to that? Well, it involves an action, and then we will see other details later. So these psukim are really at the heart of our masechet. These are the psukim that describe when you give lashes. So far, so good. Our Masechet began with a unique case of giving lashes. A case which is not classical. It's not a classical lav. Two unique cases. So now the Gemara is going to analyze these psukim. And in analyzing the psukim, the Gemara will derive that it's talking about a situation of Eidim Zomimim. And in that situation, the Torah is saying, give them lashes. So far, so good. Can we pause for a second? I have a question. Last week we voted to take a masechet that will involve using your noodles. Did you guys change your mind that you want to do something easier with more stories? How many of you would want us to switch to something that's more story-like? You guys are okay? I don't know if at this hour of the night this isn't too much. You're okay, yeah? Okay, if you're okay with it, I'm happy. Yeah, you're okay? Okay. Yeah, Yochanan, we're okay? Okay, if you change your mind, let me know. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So now let's go back to Rashi. We'll learn the Gemara with Rashi here. So when you learn with Rashi, the way to learn is using two fingers. The Rabban Shalom Baruch Hashem blessed all of us with two hands. You keep one hand in the Gemara, one hand in the Rashi. So, again, the Gemara says, the question was...
That's after you learned the Gemara already once without Rashi?
This is a Gemara where I don't think you can make heads or tails without Rashi. You'll read it once and I don't think you'll understand anything. In this Gemara.
So it's not even worth trying.
You'll try and then you'll see that you can't and then you'll get the Rashi. You should definitely try. You should always try. That's what Rav Yitzchak Kampanktun writes, right?
Yeah. Always try without the Rashi.
He was talking when you're at a stage where you know what the words mean, so then you try to read the Gemara without Rashi, and then you read a second time. Yeah, first you see what you would have understood in the Gemara. Then you read Rashi, and then you have a basis to look back and say, wait a second, why didn't Rashi say like I did? So sometimes I didn't know what I was talking about, which in the beginning is most of the time. As you learn more, you'll start realizing, hey, wait a second, Rashi was, there's a reason Rashi said differently.
So the goal is to kind of get to like this, the goal is that we want to try to get to like the point of what our obligations for Parsha Shavuot with the Gemara.
Okay. Okay, you can call it that. I wouldn't call it that, but okay. So again, El Aremes Leidim Zomimin Shelokin Min HaTorah Minayin. How do we know that Eidim Zomimin can end up getting lashes from the Torah? Dichtiv Yitzdikut HaTzadik V'Rshivut HaRasha. The pasuk says they will show the righteousness of the righteous one, the wickedness of the wicked one, and if the wicked one deserves to be hit, they'll hit him. Mishum itzdikut atzadik v'rshut arasha v'yayim binakot arasha. The Gemara says, wait a second, just because you find one to be right and the other one to be wrong, so then it could be that one deserves lashes, says Rashi. Bitmiha. The Gemara asks it in wonderment. Ivi itzdikut v'rshu b'dayanin kamar. If the verse is the way we understood, that it's talking about the judges, and they should find out who's right and who's wrong, v'tzadik v'rasha b'balei dinin, and we're talking about an argument, two neighbors have a disagreement. I'm right, you're, the border goes still here, no, the border goes still here, you sold me a cow, you sold me a mule. Okay, so one of them's right and one of them's wrong. So then, lama li v'tzadik u'tzadik? Why does the pasuk describe one as being righteous and the other one being wicked? The pasuk should have just said, when there'll be an argument between people, so then they'll go to the court and they'll judge them, and then the courts will decide if one of them deserves lashes. Why does the pasuk stress over here? Why does it mention here that one will be found righteous? You think that any time Bezdin finds one to be right and the other one to be obligated, you have to give lashes? Is that what the pasuk is saying when it tells you this one will be righteous, this one will be guilty? So one owes the other one money. What are you giving lashes for? El al korach. But what you have to say is beidim ishtai, that the pasuk is talking about a different scenario than you imagined initially. It's not talking about a classical case of two people that have an argument. Then there's no point in lashes. You owe him the money. You don't owe him the man money. Okay.
What is mishtai?
Mishtai, it's talking about.
Like miling?
Like
miling? Miling.
No. Mairi is, that's the subject. That's the... We translate it into English as both mishtai. But mishtai, literally, in Aramaic, is the word talk. Lishtai ba'adei means to talk with him. Mairi doesn't literally mean to talk about. Literally, it means that's the subject. That's what it's about. We don't say that in English, so we say that's what it's talking about. But the word talk is really mishtai. So you have to say it's talking about a case of witnesses. Edim shkarim. You're talking about a case where you had false witnesses, Shirshu Tzaddik, that they walked into here and they testified against someone who was completely righteous and they made him look wicked. Uvau Acharim, and then other witnesses walked in, a second set of witnesses, Behezimum, and they made them into Edom Zomimim. They revealed their plot. And then they showed the justice of the one being persecuted, the one being judged, Shu Tzaddik, that he is really righteous. So is not talking about the responsibilities of the court, but rather the way we have to read the pasuk is as following. As follows, there'll be an argument. Two people will go to court to be judged. And then new witnesses will walk in, and the witnesses will reveal the righteousness of he who is righteous. Vitzdikut HaTzadik is not describing the responsibilities of the court, but rather it is a continued description of the case that transpired. The new witnesses walked in and revealed the righteousness of the defendant, and they showed the wickedness of the wicked witnesses who were lying, the Edim Zomimim. So that's what the pasuk is talking about. If this is a case of Edim Zomimim that deserves lashes, so here the pasuk revealed to us that you have a case of Edim Zomimim which deserves lashes. What's a case? That's a case where you cannot really fulfill Vasitim Loka Shel Zamam. Ordinarily, the Torah says, give him what he plotted to do. And then you have instances when you can't. Those are the two instances of our Mishnah. Notice that this is a remez, this is an illusion. You can't say that's what the pasuk literally says. It's not a derivation. So again, let's read it inside. Where do you find an allusion to Edim Zomim in the Torah? The Gemara asks, you want an allusion to Edim Zomim? You have a verse, you don't need an allusion. It says, do want him as he plotted. Where do you have an allusion that Edim Zomim will get lashes? The pasuk describes, you will show the righteousness of the righteous and the wickedness of the wicked. And if the wicked one deserves lashes, so the Gemara asks, Mishum Itzdiku Tzadik V'Yoshiu Tarasha, just because the courts found that one of the two was in the right and the other one was wrong, Vayayim Bina Kota Rasha, then one of them might deserve lashes. That doesn't make sense. Ela, but rather what the verse is describing is as follows. Edim Shirshiu Tzadik, you had false witnesses, group number one, walked into court and testified lies about a righteous person and made him look wicked. Ve'atu Edim Achine, and then a second pair of witnesses walked into court, Ve'itzdiku Tzadik Demi'ikara, and they showed the justification of the one who was originally considered righteous. Ve'shavinu Lehani Reshaim, and they showed us, they made the other pair, the first pair of witnesses, into wicked people. They revealed that. Vayayim binakot harasha. So then if they deserve lashes, so then give them 40 lashes. So that's how we derive it. So the Gemara asks, why'd you find such a convoluted case? Why don't you just derive it from one of the Ten Commandments? It says, don't give false testimony. And these Edom Zomimim gave false testimony. Isn't that enough? I can't give them lashes for testifying falsely, because we said the concept of lashes is derived from lotachsom shor b'disho, don't muzzle the ox. Muzzling the ox involves an action. So here you have concept number one, which you should write into your notes. Lav shein bo maise, v'chol lav shein bo maise en lokin alav. The Gemara tells us a rule. Whenever you have a prohibition that the transgression of that prohibition does not involve an action, that's called a lav she'ein bo maaseh. It's a prohibition that involves no action. So then you don't get lashes for such a prohibition. So that's rule number one, important rule that we saw today. What lav she'ein bo maaseh could you guys think of?
Talking is the focus,
so you said talking is a lav shein bo maaseh, right? That's what the Gemara just said. That's why false witnesses don't get lashes from Lotane Berachayit Shaker. The Torah says, don't give false testimony. So why don't I give them lashes over that lav? Because that's a lav Shein Bomaisa, right? The Gemara just said, giving testimony is considered in Bomaisa, not in action, right? Right, good question. So that's a Tosus over there. When you get there, you'll worry about it. What else? What other lav Shein Bomaisa? Huh? Okay. Lo Sachmod, right? That's a lav Shein Bomaisa. Very good. We'll see that later in the Gemara. Lo Sosiru. Don't leave over from the Karban until the morning. Very good. Okay. So what do we see so far? Let's summarize. We said, how do you know that the Edom Zomim don't go into exile? We derived it from the Pasuk, Hu Yanus, he will flee, and not the Zomimim. Rabbi Yochanan offered a Kavachomer. We countered that that Kavachomer assumes that going into exile is a punishment, and the truth is that going into exile is a merit. It allows him to get atonement. So you can't do the Kavachomer, but rather like Rish Lakish. And then Ula brought an allusion to the idea that Edom Zomimim can get lashes from the verses of lashes. We asked, why don't you derive it from the prohibition Lotane Brachayit Shaker? And we said that that's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. You don't get lashes for Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Yeah.
I'm lost in this concept about why going, because it's a kapara that is considered, like it's not a punishment.
Kapara is a merit.
Or is it a punishment? Like kapara, like we punish to make up for what we did wrong, and then that's how we have merit coming back?
It's a very good question. There's a Tosa somewhere that asked that question. I don't remember where. You're saying, why are the two mutually exclusive? And it can't be both. There's a Tosa in Sanhedrin that asked that. There's a Tosa, if I'm not mistaken, it's in Sanhedrin. What? Yeah, we have a Sanhedrin here. I don't remember where. Which Gemara? Yeah.
So that's going to be the last one to work towards. Try to get a lot of food, so I'm going to go to the bathroom.
I have to think about it.
I've got to run to the bathrooms. I think I'll go.
Okay. Onward, or should we go on to Jewish history? Jewish history? Yeah? Okay.
So I'll run down and get the second.